Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 3? I thank the Lord for this ministry and the opportunity of preaching and teaching the Word of God every Sunday to preachers and teachers and Christian people. And our purpose in this ministry is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the cross, and try to win people to Christ, try to show them that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that salvation is free and that you can be saved through what he did at Calvary. Our ministry includes trying to build up in the faith those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and maybe over the years, maybe there are those that you haven't had the privilege of being taught the Word of God rightly divided and seeing this truth. You would be, as it were, liberated from the bondage of denominationalism and such things as that. So our purpose is to preach the Word of God, exalt Jesus Christ, and make Him manifest. As I said in a broadcast before, I personally do not believe that the attitude of the first century martyr is in the preaching and the teaching and of the preachers anymore. I believe that the majority of the preachers today, or many of them, should I say, are after their own thing. They're doing their own thing. It's a form of self-exaltation. They're trying to build up a ministry or build a church. And once they... In fact, it's amazing how this works. An individual starts real little, maybe in someone's home with a Bible class. And so they begin to grow. And then they need to expand, as they say. And so they go out of that house into something bigger, and they may rent a building someplace. But pretty soon, this preacher leads them into a building program. They've always got to expand. And so they start a bond issue or a this issue or that issue. And the first thing you know, they've built a big building. And they've always got to have that expensive steeple on the top. And it isn't long before they're spending money paving the parking area. And it just goes on and on and on until they end up with a $5 to $10 million monstrosity that is a monument to the manipulation, the ability of some individual to manipulate people into building a monument to himself. I care not for any of that. That is not an exaltation of Jesus Christ. That's an exaltation of some individual's private ministry. And there are many of those in Pensacola and Mobile, Montgomery, and around the country today. They're not exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had people accuse us. They say, well, oh, you're talking about that bunch that meet on somebody's back porch. Well, we'd be fortunate to be able to meet on somebody's back porch, and we'd praise God for the liberty and the opportunity to do that. What difference would it matter if we're meeting under an oak tree somewhere, as long as we're preaching the gospel of Christ, exalting the cross, souls are being saved, and Christian people being established in the truth? Since when do you have to have some monstrosity of a building that costs $5 million in order to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and preach the cross? Or did anybody ever get that idea anyway? What difference does it matter if we're in somebody's back porch or under an oak tree somewhere or in a tent? It matters not, beloved. The big thing is, what is the preacher preaching? Does he preach the Word of God rightly divided? And is he exalting the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Now, make no mistake about it, any preacher in Pensacola, Florida, this coming Sunday, that stands in a pulpit and covers truth and holds back truth because he's afraid that if he preaches to his people, he'll lose his grip over them, doesn't love those people. He can say, beloved, I love you, and I love you this, and I love you that, until hell freezes over. But the Bible said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. A preacher that loves the congregation that he's ministering to will try to build them up in the faith. He will tell them the truth. He will preach the truth unto them. He will preach the Word of God, the full truth. He'll rightly divide the word of truth. He will teach his people that. The whole Bible is for our admonition and learning, but not all of the Bible is directly to us as members of the body of Christ. If he isn't doing that, he doesn't love that congregation, or else he's ignorant of the truth. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to start reading on the verse at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Then Paul's aim and Paul's purpose is clear in the passage. Paul's purpose was to make all men. That's all men without distinction of race, creed, color. Make all men see something. What were they to see? They're to see the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery has to do with that which is unsearchable. Notice in verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Turn in your Bible, please, to Romans, and look in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, the context in Romans has to do with the nation Israel as a nation, and it has to do with their fall and their casting off. And he says in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, and it has to do with the second coming. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them when I shall take away their sins. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ will come unto Israel again. He will come during the time called the time of Jacob's trouble. He will come in the tribulation. He will come unto them and he will save those who turn from iniquity in Jacob, as in Isaiah chapter 59 verse 20. All Israel shall be saved. Who are all Israel? Those that turn away from the Antichrist. Those that turn away from idolatry. Those that turn away from iniquity. During that period of time will be saved at the second coming of Christ. Verse 27. This is my covenant of them when I shall take away their sins. He will take away their sins when that fountain of blood is opened unto them, as in Zechariah chapter 13. Now verse 28, as concerning the gospel, their enemies for your, and he's writing to the Gentiles now, he said their enemies for your sakes. That is, at that time they were enemies. Back there during the time covered by the book of Acts, Israel were enemies to the Gentiles. And they didn't want the Apostle Paul to go to the Gentiles. They didn't want the Gentiles to hear the blessings from God. Why? Well, think about it. The Egyptian people held Israel, the people of Jacob, they held them in bondage and mistreated them terribly bad. Finally, God redeemed them from the bondage of the Egyptians, Pharaoh and his people. Later on, they were again put under bondage by several different groups, but we refer to the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonians burned down their temple and carried them captive and kept them captive for years. Well, how would you expect an Israelite to love an Egyptian or a Babylonian? Then there's the Media Persians that dominated the world and dominated Israel. And then there's the Grecian Empire and finally the Roman Empire. And when Jesus Christ came to the children of Israel, they were in bondage to the Roman Empire. When Paul said that the Lord sent him out, here's Israel being taxed and under bondage to the Roman Empire. And so Paul told them in Acts chapter 22 that the Lord had appeared unto him and said, go unto the Gentiles. And they said, no way. They said, away with this man. It's not right that this man should live. Why are they saying such a thing as that? Paul is in effect saying that God Almighty is sending me to bless the ones who have been cursing you. And it made him angry. In Genesis chapter 12, God Almighty called Abraham. And God said, Abraham, I'll bless you, and I'll bless your seed after you. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. But he says, I'll bless the ones that bless you and curse those that curse you. In other words, the seed of Abraham turns out to be the children of Israel. And the Gentile nations that blessed the children of Israel, God blessed. The Gentile nations that cursed the children of Israel, God cursed. The Israelite leaders knew that. Here is a Jew named Saul, later on called Paul, telling this group at the temple, God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has spoken unto me and is sending me to bless the Gentiles. In other words, he's sending me to bless those that have been cursing you. And they said, no way. They're saying this is contrary to the truth and the doctrine of Genesis chapter 12 and other passages in the scripture. They're saying this man cannot be telling the truth. He's got to be lying. God had promised to curse those that cursed Israel and bless those that blessed Israel. And yet here's a man saying that God is going to bless those that's been cursing Israel. They're saying it can't be. Away with this man. And they threw dust in the air and they ripped off their clothes. And they put Paul in prison. Now, you know, there's a great truth in all that. God Almighty did bless we that are cursed. How did he do that? Well, he did it by Jesus Christ taking the curse upon himself. You see, they didn't understand that. They didn't see the fact that Jesus Christ died for their sin. They didn't see the fact that Jesus Christ became a curse for them. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, cursed is every man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, any individual that doesn't love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love his neighbors himself, is under a curse. Cursed is every man that continues not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. But the Bible tells me in Galatians 3, verse 13, that Jesus Christ redeemed us from that curse, being made a curse for us. Jesus Christ at Calvary became the curse of Almighty God. He became whatever you are by nature. He became whatever your sin is. He's the criminal at Calvary that you are by nature and by attitude and action. Your sins were placed upon him, and he died for your sin. But you see, those Israelites did not know that. They didn't know that because they didn't believe that. There are thousands of people out there today that still do not know that. Why? Because some religious character has them under bondage. Some religious denominational leader somewhere has them under his thumb, has them under his control. And he knows that as long as he trains people and teaches them in that denominational system, he can control them. He knows that as long as he can put them down in that water, he can get his control over them, and he can rule over them and dominate their lives. He does not want them to be free. He does not want to lose control over them. But Jesus Christ died at Calvary to set you free from the dominion of man and nations and whatever. Oh, I'm not talking about lawlessness in the United States. I'm not talking about the sense you're saved by grace through faith. That gives you the liberty to kill people and murder and lie and cheat and whatever. There's some of the nuts today that refer to us as dry cleaners that say we teach people it's all right to live in sin. That's a lot of bunk. We don't even believe any such thing as that. We believe that those that are saved by grace through faith are to live a resurrected life. They're to walk in newness of life, as in Romans chapter 6. Not walk in sin. We don't believe any such thing that we teach people to live in sin. That's those that are our enemies that are trying to shut us up that tell people that. They say, don't you believe these hypers? These hypers are going to cause you to dry up on the vine. You believe that stuff they teach, you won't ever win any souls again. Well, you won't win any souls unless you do believe this. What? What do we teach about it? We teach that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. We teach that Jesus Christ was made to be sin for us. He who knew no sin became our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We teach that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You tell me a way a man can be saved today outside of that? There is no way to be saved today. The Bible said, in fact, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What is the gospel of Christ? That Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. There is no confusion where we're concerned pertaining to the gospel. The gospel that we preach is clear cut. It's plain and it's simple. It is not associated with water baptism in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It has nothing to do with water. Walk in the aisle for Jesus. It has nothing to do with joining the church. It has nothing to do with having a board of directors sit down and vote you into an assembly somewhere. The gospel we preach is the gospel of the grace of God. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the fact that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day for our justification. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But I go back to Israel and their attitude toward the Apostle Paul. They didn't believe that truth. They didn't know that truth, as thousands of so-called Christian people today don't know that truth. Why? Because some religious leader has kept them in darkness all these years. And he doesn't want them to know. Why? Because of his pride. Because of his haughty spirit. Well, God wants you to know. Paul's aim and desire was to make all men see what is the fellowship of a mystery which had been hid in God. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. How are they unsearchable? Go back to Romans 11 again. In Romans 11, notice in verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they, Israel at that time, are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they're beloved for the Father's sake. They're not enemies today. They're not enemies of the Gentiles today. In this age we live in out here now, all have sinned. There's none good, no, not one. There's no distinction. God would have all men to be saved, all men without race, creed, or color. God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. While there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No mediated tricks in there anywhere. No female between you and the Lord. There's no female by which you can come to God. There very well could be a female between you and the Lord. A female is keeping you from getting to the Lord. But there's no female by which you can get to the Lord. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You can be saved today. How? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can be saved right now. Jesus Christ at Calvary took your sins there, suffered blood and died for you, so that you, by believing in him as your Savior, can be saved by God's grace. You don't need to go anywhere. You don't have to say anything. You don't necessarily have to pray anything. You don't have to go to an altar somewhere. You don't have to go to the church building to be saved. You can be saved right where you are, right in your living room there, or your bedroom, wherever you are right now. If you will believe, if you will claim Christ as your Savior right now, God will save you by His grace. How do I know? Because He said He would. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said, if thou shalt believe with thine heart and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess Jesus Christ the Lord and believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ paid for all your sins at Calvary, paid for all your sins, not portions of them, all of them, and you trust Him, claim Him as your Savior right now, God will save you no matter who you are, no matter how low down you are, no matter what other people think about you. God Almighty loves you and gave His Son for you. You can be saved right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to be a better person to get God to love you. God loved you when you were an enemy to Him. God loved you when you were a sinner, according to Romans chapter 5. God loved you when you were ungodly, according to Romans chapter 5. God has exhibited His love in that He gave His Son for you. You can't clean up your life in a manner that will make God love you. God will save you just like you are. Where you are, who you are, what you are. It matters not about your moral character, where you've been, or what you've been doing while you're there. What matters is you believe in Christ, your Lord and Savior. What matters is you trust in Him as your Lord and Savior right now. All that is taken care of at Calvary. All that past, all those sins, all that's taken care of at Calvary. What do you need right now? You need a Savior. How can you get Him? Believe in Him. Put your faith in Him. Put your confidence in Him. Claim Him as your Lord and Savior. Do it now and God will save you. Back in Romans 11 again. Romans 11 verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God without repentance, for as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Okay, we Gentiles back there didn't believe God. But through their unbelief, we obtained mercy. What is their unbelief? They said, we have no king but Caesar. They said, this man Jesus is not our king. They said, away with this man. They said, crucify this man. They said, Caesar is our king. They did not believe on Him. They were in unbelief. They refused Him. They rejected Him. And they had Him crucified. Well, through their unbelief, the crucifixion of Christ came about. And through that, God is merciful unto us. Now look at the verse again, verse 30. For as you in times past, you Gentiles back there, have not believed God, yet have now in this age, now obtained mercy. How? Through their unbelief. They crucified the man that will save you. Without His crucifixion, without His death at Calvary, there would have been no salvation for you. Why? Because the wages of your sin is death. The payoff for your crimes is death. If you had died for your crimes, you'd fall off into hell. Another man born in your likeness could not pay for your sins. So God Almighty prepared a sacrifice. God prepared a Savior. The Bible said God made Him to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin became our sin. And so, Jesus Christ prepared the way that He Himself could save you. Legally speaking, He could take you into the kingdom of God and everything be done up legal and everything. What do you need then? You just need Jesus. You just need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. receive him right now, claim him right now, and be saved. Believe God. All right, back in the passage. Verse 30. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Paul knew that. Paul knew that through their unbelief they sacrificed Jesus Christ, and therefore, through our mercy, Israel could obtain mercy. And so Paul said, I'm going to the Jew first. So Paul went in the synagogues and he preached unto those Jews and then went to the Gentile. Went in the synagogues, preached unto them, and went unto the Gentile. On and on it goes in the book of Acts. Now back in the passage. Verse 31, even so these also now not believe that through your mercy they may obtain mercy, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that God Almighty would save unclean Gentiles in this age. The fact that God Almighty would save miserable wretched such as you and I who never blessed Israel. We cursed Israel, as it were. We never blessed Israel back there. We never blessed the seed of Abraham. We would have cursed the seed of Abraham. And so God Almighty provided a way that he could save we that were cursed with a curse. How? By making Jesus Christ our curse at Calvary. He became a curse for us. Him who knew no sin became our sin in order that God could make us his righteousness in Christ. In other words, our curse, our sins were transferred back to Calvary, and Jesus Christ paid for our sins, but his righteousness was transferred to us, and we're made righteous with his righteousness. It's the righteousness of God put to our account. Our sins put to his account. His righteousness put to our account. How? By our faith. By our believing in him. By our claiming him as our Lord and Savior. But all this was past finding out in the Old Testament scriptures. It was unsearchable in the Old Testament scriptures. What did the Old Testament scriptures say? Well, the Old Testament scriptures are very plain. That the Gentiles who blessed the seed of Abraham, God would bless. The Gentiles who cursed the seed of Abraham, God would curse. No way did he reveal back there that Gentiles who cursed Israel would be blessed. No, he didn't reveal that. But it's true now through Paul's ministry. You can be blessed of God. How? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's simple. It's just like ABC. We're not talking repent of your sins, get baptized, walk the aisle, join the church, keep them. No, no, no. We're talking believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? Well, he died for your sins at Calvary. He paid for your sins at Calvary. He became a curse for you. He took your curse. And God made him to be a curse, judged you in him, so that you, by believing in that event, God can save you. Claim him right now before it's too late. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.